This morning, we want to focus on our Savior, of course, and kind of a different viewpoint, if you will. I want to focus a little bit more on what He gave up for Christmas, because often we think about what we get and what others get, but we need to remember how much Jesus sacrificed to make Christmas even possible. And that's here in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. The Bible says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." So a little lower than the angels is our title this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for what this holiday means, Lord, to a Christian. The incarnation is such a beautiful part of the gospel, such a beautiful truth that our Creator would love us so much to become a man and die for us, Lord. And as we reflect on that this morning, may it just stir our hearts, Lord, to love you, to serve you, to be faithful to you, and to tell others about you at this season especially. So, Lord, we want to honor you in this service and your word, and pray that you would have your will on me in every heart through your power. And we commit it to you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We see Jesus, he says there in Hebrews 2:9. We see Jesus. Christianity is all about Jesus. Amen. Christmas is all about Jesus. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, here in Hebrews 12:2, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. That's why we're here this morning, to look unto Jesus and to focus on Him. And again, we see here in verse 9, the Bible says, He was made a little lower than the angels. Jesus Christ had to make some sacrifices for us. Christianity is all about sacrifice. But it was His sacrifice that made it all possible. And the very angels that worshipped Christ, He was now made a little bit lower than them. Imagine that. He created them. And they worshipped Him. And continue to worship Him. Go back one chapter to chapter 1. Look down at verse 6 of Hebrews. The Bible says, "And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten of the world, He saith, and that all the angels of God worship Him." That the angels worship Jesus Christ. And that's in some of our Christmas hymns. That the angels worship Jesus. And yet, for us, He became a little bit lower than the angels. And He suffered much for us. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But we must never forget that Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven for us. And I just want to look at a couple of scriptures on that. Look at Romans 8, if you would, verse 3. And I just want us to be mindful this morning as we reflect on the incarnation, on Jesus Christ coming to earth for us. I want us to reflect on what He sacrificed when He left heaven for you and for me. Romans chapter 8, verse 3, the Bible says, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Notice Jesus Christ became the likeness of sinful flesh. Now, that doesn't mean he was sinful. But he was in the likeness. He was in the likeness of humanity. And he did that for us. Now, if you would look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. And again, we're talking about Jesus Christ and what he sacrificed to leave heaven to become a man for you and for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. We talk about the rich and the poor here on earth. Imagine the contrast between being the holy, glorious, all-powerful one in heaven to becoming a man. And that's what the Bible's talking about. He went from being the richest to becoming poor, that we, as it says there, through his poverty might be rich. One more verse on this, Philippians 2:7, if you would, please. Philippians 2:7. And so when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he did not come to be worshipped as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He came as a servant. He came in humility. He came to suffer and to die for us. Philippians 2:7. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Yes, there were people around often listening to him preach. But where were they at Calvary? They were gone. And other than just a few, Jesus Christ hung on the cross alone for us. So back to our passage this morning, Hebrews 2:9. The Bible says he was made a little lower than the angels. And I'll never forget Jesus Christ sacrificed the glories of heaven to become a human for us. And notice it says, Hebrews 2:9, for the suffering of death. We must never forget Jesus came to die. He came to suffer and die for you and I. But notice the Bible says the suffering of death. We'll see later on in the verse it says he tasted death. But those are two different things. Because in the Bible, death isn't just talking about our bodies. As a matter of fact, it typically is talking about separation from God. And let's remember that as we think about Christ's sacrifice this morning. That the high priest, who is holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners, came to suffer death. And if you look on down in verse 14 of Hebrews 2, the Bible talks about how he became a man for that purpose. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Verse 17, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So he became a man. But the Bible says that he came to suffer death. We must never forget, for those 3 hours when the sky went dark and Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He suffered spiritual death, which is separation from Almighty God. So yes, he died on Calvary. Yes, he paid the penalty. He shed his blood. But he also suffered death, spiritual death for us. All that we might have life. Amen? And so it says on down in our verse, Hebrews 2:9, that by the grace of God, he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now we could spend the rest of the morning just talking about all that Christ suffered. He suffered, of course, as we've talked this morning, the sacrifice of leaving heaven, of becoming a man. He suffered death, spiritual separation from God for those hours. But the Bible says he also tasted death. He tasted everything relating to death for you and for me. The Bible says in Matthew 26 that his friends forsook him, that people spit in his face, that he was punched with fists in his face, that he was scourged with a whip, a cat of nine tails, that they stripped him and put on a different robe, that they put a crown of thorns on his head and then slammed it in with reeds. They mocked him. They spit on him. And then on the cross itself, they gave him vinegar to drink and mocked him as he hung on the cross. They plucked his beard from the roots of his cheeks. The Bible says in Isaiah 52, his visage was marred more than any other man, that his face was so beaten and battered and bloody that you couldn't even tell he was a human. Let's never forget that. He tasted death. But the ultimate was those 3 hours. The middle of the day, the sky went dark. God was telling the earth, this is the time. This is the time when my own son is going to suffer true death for every person. And he cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We can't even imagine what that had to be like for those 3 hours. For the glorious Jesus Christ, Jehovah, had become a man so that he might experience death for you and for me. That he might, as it says here, suffer it, but also taste it for you and for me. So in our passage, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, it says, it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. So don't forget, he made everything, and he made it all for his pleasure. Jesus Christ is the Creator. It says in John 1, all things were made by him, and without him it was not anything made that was made. Further on in John 1, he came into the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. Our very Creator, the Bible says, came for you and for me. And the Bible says to make the captain of the salvation perfect through sufferings. So not only did Jesus Christ sacrifice the glories of heaven and all that that entails, that he might become a mere human for us. Not only did he taste and suffer death for us, but the Bible tells us that he suffered everything that we can suffer in his lifetime. Now we know this from Hebrews 4:15. Let's turn over there. You know, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. The Bible teaches us here in Hebrews 4:15, that Jesus Christ now understands every single temptation that we can ever face. Think about that. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's what God means when he says, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Our great high priest who intercedes for us in heaven, who shows the prints of the nails in his hands, who presented his blood in the Holy of Holies on our behalf, as our high priest now completely understands all that we can suffer and all the temptations we can face. And Jesus Christ did all that for you and for me. He left the glories of heaven to become a man. He tasted and he suffered death on our behalf. And he faced every suffering and temptation we could ever face. And he did all of that for us. And that is the heart of the Christmas story, isn't it? God was manifest in the flesh. for the purpose of dying for us. Verse 11, it says, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of them one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Jesus Christ did all of that so that you and I could become the children of God, that we all might be brethren, that we all might be joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse 12, "Saying, I will declare my name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me." Jesus Christ did all of this that we might become the children of God. It says down in verse 15, "Deliver them who through the fear of death were all of their lives subject to bondage." There's one thing that every person on earth has in common. We're all afraid of death. Well, then we become Christians, and God takes that away, doesn't he? And that's what it says here. Who through the fear of death, that's us, we're all their lives subject to bondage. Jesus delivered us from that. From that fear of death, because he has paid that price for us. And now we know, through what Christ did, that when our body dies, we don't die. Jesus said there in John 11, "He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." John 11, 26. We will never die. We just change locations. Amen? And Jesus died that we might be delivered from the fear of death. It says in verse 17 that he was the merciful and faithful high priest and things pertaining to God. So when Jesus died and rose again and went back to heaven, he went back for a purpose. And we just read that in Hebrews 4:15, that he might intercede for us in heaven. He suffered all these things for us, but he didn't leave it there. Because then he went back to heaven to stand in our behalf, to be our advocate, to be the propitiation for our sins. And as it says in verse 17, to make reconciliation for the sins of the brethren. And Jesus did all that. He sacrificed all of that for you and for me. And that's what Christmas is about. That the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, the creator of the universe, voluntarily left the glories of heaven. And think about having to submit himself to being a baby for those early years. Think about what that must have been like, to be inside the body of a baby, and then a child, and then a teenager. Do you think that wasn't an amazing sacrifice, that he gave all of that up and submitted himself to that for us? It's amazing when you think about it. A little lower than the angels, he was willing to suffer all of that and to taste death and to pay the price of separation from God as he hung on the cross, so that you and I might become the children of God and we might have a faithful and high priest in heaven. We're the ones that get all the blessings, and he's the one that paid all the pain and suffering. It's amazing, isn't it? And how can people say that God isn't love, when you look at what God did for us? That is the heart of the gospel, isn't it? That our Creator loved us that much, that he was willing to submit to all of that. You know, at one point Jesus told, in one of his trials, he said, "If I wanted to, I could call 12 legions of angels." I think it was Pilate. I can't remember. It might have been one of the others, but they said, "Do you not understand that I have the power over your life right now?" Jesus said, "You don't have the power over anything. I'm the one with all the power. And I'm willing to not use that power, because all those ones that I love can't be saved if I don't die for them." I'm paraphrasing. And the beatings, and being stabbed, and being whipped, and the crown of thorns, and the mockings, At any time, he could have stopped. And if he would have, and gone back to heaven and said, you're on your own, and we all would have gone to hell, do you know that God would have been fully justified yet, if that would have been the case? God was not obligated to do what he did for us. He did it because of his nature. He did it because he loves us, not because he had to do it. Let's never forget that. And Jesus Christ didn't have to leave heaven and didn't have to submit himself to humanity and didn't have to go through all of this suffering, all of this degradation, and ultimately the 3 hours of separation and going to hell. He didn't have to go through any of that. He chose to go through it. Let's never forget that he was made a little lower than the angels for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you.